Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Wednesday. It's a little late on Wednesday, but we're still doing a preview show for this weekend's game, USC versus California. We have Ryan Gorsey, who's the publisher of BearTerritory.net, going to join us in just a second to talk about USC versus California. Thanks so much. We're going to probably do another show tomorrow. I'll probably do a solo podcast on Thursday to answer more of your USC questions. So if you have any more questions, you want to send them in, podcast at uscfootball.com is our email address. You can leave us a voicemail, 641-715-3900, extension 816-646. You can go to our website, peristylepodcast.com, and click on the left side of the page from your device, your computer, wherever you want to do. You can leave us a voicemail there right from your computer. And of course, subscribe on iTunes, itunes.com/peristylepodcast. We'd love you to leave us a five-star rating. Subscribe from iTunes or whatever your favorite podcast app is. A lot of different ways you can consume the show. We really appreciate that. All right, let's bring in Ryan Gorsey from BearTerritory.net. Does a great job for Scout.com covering the sturdy Golden Bears of California. You can follow him on Twitter at RGBearTerritory. That's at RGBearTerritory. Ryan Gorsey, thank you so much for joining the show, man. How you doing?
It's doing great. I want to say, so the dirty Golden Bear are losing all his hair. That's the way it goes, isn't it?
That's according to the USC band song, I think. But, you know, what's the...
There you go.
But yeah, so it should be a really interesting game this weekend up in Berkeley, USC and Cal. You know, USC, the LA schools really looked pretty bad for a couple of weeks. And then somehow they turned things around and, you know, get the, you know, big win. UCLA got a big win over Cal and USC gets a big win over Utah. What do you think of what's going on with Cal now, starting off 5-0, kind of, you know, stumbling a little bit the last couple of games? Where is this Berkeley team right now?
Well, I mean, you look at the Utah game, and that was, I don't think Jared Goff's going to play a game that poorly for the rest of his life, and that's going to include when he's like 65 and throwing Nerf balls in the parking lot of the Super Bowl for $5 a pop. Well, let's be realistic, probably $25 a pop. I don't think he's going to throw five picks again anytime soon. And the remarkable thing about that game, though, is he throws five picks and Cal was still within 6 points, beating at that time the number 4 team in the nation.
Yeah.
So you have to feel pretty good about that, particularly because the defense got like three turnovers in that game, and Utah had barely turned the ball over until then. And then, oh, and then they run into the Trojans and they're just turning the ball over everywhere. So maybe Cal maybe kickstarted that. I don't know, but. You know, the biggest problem the past two games, it's twofold. Number one, Daniel Lasco has not had any kind of a meaningful role because it's taken him so long to get back from that weird hip groin injury that he suffered against San Diego State. You know, and that's really 4 or 5 games now where he has not either not been a factor or been had very minimal. He was the guy who pitched the flea flicker back for that 42-some-odd-yard bomb that Goff threw to Maurice Harris in the UCLA game. But really, the lack of a running game and the consistent running game, Cal averaged before Lasco went, or actually, you extend out to Texas, Lasco's first game not playing, where Texas really still had to prepare to think that maybe Lasco was going to play. You know, Cal ran for 280 yards. In the first three games, Cal ran for 5.4 yards a carry. Since then, they've ran for 3.3. So a lack of a consistent running game. Jared Goff, opposing teams have just been teeing off on Jared Goff. And that's just because the tackles have not been good. At this point in the season, what are you going to do? Bring somebody in? You can't. There's nobody else. You got to go with what brung you. And that's right now, Cal's got to deal with either Aaron Cochran or Brian Farley on the left and Stephen Moore on the right. And right now, they're not looking good. And the second thing is, hey, Cal's defense has been so predicated on the turnover, the 20 turnovers on the season, that you go into, and they only got one against UCLA. And they had 4 other balls they probably could have picked off. Now, if Cal picks off 2 of those, you know, that's a potential 14-point swing. And then, hey, you punch one in from deep instead of going for a field goal. You know, third and one. Jared Goff throws up a 50-yard bomb to Bryce Trey that's out of his reach. Maybe a different play call there. You get that, you know, if Cal has a running game, you get that fresh set of downs and you can punch it in. All of a sudden, you know, that's a 40-24 point loss. The three scores makes a huge difference. So I think that's what the last two games have shown us for Cal. You know, Jared Goff needs to be better. Needs to be sharper, more accurate, particularly on the deep balls. Cal was 0-for-5 against UCLA on the deep ball, so he needs to be better. Daniel Lasco, you know, we keep saying every week, maybe he'll play. We'll find out. He looked good, so we'll see on Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing with Jared Goff, he spreads it around quite a bit. I think 7 different receivers have caught at least 13 passes through the first few, you know, first 7 games, you know, from Bryce Treggs and, you know, Lawler, all those guys have just been, seem to do a really good job for him. The fact that he can spread it around seems to help. But the turnover side, for me, it seems more like kind of a feast or famine sort of thing, where the Cal defense was pretty bad last year. I think they're better this year, but relying a lot on those takeaways, almost like a big, you know, a home run type of offense, where if you're not getting home runs, the offenses are, you're not hitting a lot of singles, you're not, you know, stealing bases, moving the ball over, you know, moving the base runners over. It seems like for
Cal
me, this Cal
the Adam Dunn of college football defenses.
Yeah, but I mean, 22 takeaways leads the nation. But like you said, only one against UCLA. And really, and you're right. I mean, I saw, you know, Josh Rosen throw balls to Cal defenders and they just dropped them. And I think if you can pick off a true freshman early in the game a couple of times, you can really change the whole outcome of it. But it seems to me, Ryan, that really that the turnovers, Cal needs those turnovers to be successful.
Maybe they need some more hot tubs in their dorm rooms. I think that's the real solution. I think that's what we're really missing up here in Berkeley, is hot tubs in the dorm rooms. He got that taken away, though. So there is justice somewhere in UCLA.
I did hear that. But, you know, he invited an Arizona co-ed to come join him in his hotel room. So he pretty much wins.
Yeah, I kind of want to high-five him for that. I mean, that's pretty awesome. I mean, yeah, you're kind of coming off like a tool, but you're a well-used tool, so hey, good for you.
I want to talk about penalties a little bit, because last year, you know, when Cal was struggling, one of the worst in the conference. Now it's turned around and really one of the best, where you're not shooting yourself in the foot as much. I mean, how much do you think that's helped Cal this year?
Oh, it's so much. I mean, and as much as I go at the offensive line, you have to realize that so many of those penalties were on the offensive line. Because it was either inexperience or over-aggressiveness. And boy, when they screw up in practice now, you know, Brandon Jones, the new offensive line coach this year, he makes them pay. And he makes them stay after. And not that Zach Kinzer didn't, but Brandon Jones, I think, is a little more of a taskmaster in that sense. So, you know, you damn well better not screw up, or there will be consequences. And I think that's helped Cal. And really, the only time they've shot themselves in the foot is their own doing. It's not penalties. That really is their own doing as well. It's the dropped balls at times. It's the weird play calling. It's the missed execution. That's what's really hurting Cal. You look at the fact that Cal has not played 60 minutes of football on all three sides of the ball. Everyone's had their game where they've taken time off. And that's what's really been hurting Cal. But you know what? The fact that Cal's so far less penalized than they had been in the past, I think it shows you have a very, very, very veteran team. I mean, even the kids, even the freshmen that are playing, you know, Simisi Uluave, Patrick McCary, two true freshmen who are playing along the line, have not been penalized that much when they've played. Granted, it's not a very large sample size. But yeah, and boy, Darius White gets away with a lot in the defensive backfield, I'll tell you that. We see more pass interferences per practice than I can remember. But boy, you know, during the game, he seems to make it work.
There's an aggressive style. You got to like that on D. I like defensive guys that are aggressive, you know?
Yeah, and especially because he got thrown in the fire so quickly last year. Really, he missed all of fall camp, and then at Washington State, against him, he's going to throw it 70 times a game. Hey, best of luck. Pat him on the butt and send him in. All right, sure. this year, though, White and Darius Allsworth have been so dependable, really, at the cornerback position. My concern has been safety. Cal brought in 8 new defensive backs, and we've really seen very few of them play when we expected them, frankly, all to play at some point in the year. You know, we've seen Evan Rambo at times. Kahari Vanderbilt was the JC guy they brought in. He really hasn't played much. Daron Brown, JC guy brought in, hasn't played much. Antoine Albert, JC guy they brought in, hasn't played much. You see a guy like Luke Rubenzer, who was a quarterback a year ago, he's getting snaps ahead of those guys, and frankly, that concerns me. I don't know why it concerns me, but I don't know if it's bad, but it can't be good. That's my thought with it. But the cornerbacks have been very, very steady. The nickelbacks have, I mean, been fairly steady because we've seen a lot of nickel and dime out of Cal this year. But the safeties outside of your starters, Stephen McClure and Demarie Drew, and boy, you know, we're talking as all the Cal beat writers, at least those of us who live in the Bay Area, we're talking with each other for practice the other day. And we're saying, how many NFL guys are really on this roster or really on this defense? And we all kind of looked around at each other, and at the same time, we all sort of like really cautiously said Demarie Drew. Because, of course, he spent last year at Buchanan Community College after getting into an altercation with a student and the student's dog, and had to go through anger management, had to take classes, and came back as an on-scholarship guy. And he has been, I think, what we all had hoped Avery Sebastian was going to be at some point during his career at Cal, off injured as he was. And he really has been. He's been exactly what we thought, you know, a real downhill, hard-hitting guy. He's lost weight. He's definitely better in coverage. We're seeing him be more active, particularly kind of in the middle field. Not the down low stuff, not run, but then not the deep, but kind of in that middle area. He's been really good there. The outside of those two safeties, Stephen McClure, obviously the veteran, and Demarie Drew, there's a drop-off up the middle. And with so many JC guys that Cal brought in, you're kind of wondering, well, why aren't they playing them? Although Kahari Vanderbilt has made some hay on special teams, and Evan Rambo has done pretty well himself. But, you know, again, I think the secondary still, I think, would be considered a weakness, not as much as a weakness as I think the linebackers, as we saw against UCLA.
I want to talk about the Cal run defense a little bit. I thought, you know, did a pretty good job against Utah, which is a good running team. I mean, certainly not an easy task there. USC looks to be more of they took more snaps under center against Utah. They ran the football more than they passed it. And they got Trey Madden back this week. And I kind of get the feeling, if I had to guess what the USC game plan is going to be, I think it's going to be more, you know, running the football, play action passes, kind of things like that. Maybe talk about what the Cal run defense has been like this year.
Well, I don't think the run defense looked that good against UCLA. And I think the difference there, and talking with the Cal defenders, UCLA did a lot more. And I think UCLA offensively, I think philosophically, is closer to Cal than they are to, say, USC. In the sense that there are a lot of run-pass combinations. You see a lot of that with young quarterbacks. And Jared Goff now pretty much has control over that run-pass option. And what UCLA was doing is Paul Perkins was just so good against Cal that he was on those run-pass options. Of course, it looks like play action from afar. And Cal was sitting to stop the run, couldn't stop Perkins, and then got so gun-shy about Perkins that they were crashing to stop the run, and then all of a sudden now the pass option opens up, and Rosen hit like 5 or 6 slants to Thomas Duarte, where you're looking within a 6, 7, 8 yard radius, and like, where are the blue shirts? Where are the white shirts? And nobody's there. And I think that Cal's run defense, obviously, like you said, did a pretty decent job against Booker. USC, I think, did a little bit better job limiting him to 62 yards, and then Utah to 99 yards as a whole. I think Cal's four-man front, if it plays the way it can, and I think against a more traditional, you know, kind of under-center team like USC, that pro-style team, I think the four-man front is perhaps a better option. Cal has been rushing 3 at times, I think 9 times against UCLA. They rushed 3. And Sonny Dykes and Art Coffman, the defensive coordinator, have both said that rushing 3 has sometimes led to better defense, frankly, because then you can drop another guy into coverage, and that's where your interceptions come. But sometimes they've gotten sacks out of a 3-man rush, and then they've not gotten sacks out of a 4-man rush. But I think having James Looney and Mustafa Jalil And then behind them, Marcus Stanley and David Davis. And then behind them, Sonny McCary, although I think McCary really now is first or second at this point. McCary and Trevor Kelly. You know, I think that's really the strength of your defense is your interior defensive line. And that's where, if Cal is going to be successful defending and run, you're going to see those guys top up the middle a lot.
We had a few questions on the message board, Ryan, if you wouldn't mind answering some of those from some of the USC fans.
Shoot, let's go.
All right. Lambda Chi Trojan says, what's the injury report like for Cal? And how is former Trojan, he said for a minute, Devontae Wilson doing?
You know what? Devontae Wilson, I think, is one of Cal's better better pass rushers. I don't think it's going to show so much in the stats, but he pressures so much off the edge. And he is so big, so strong, and so athletic and so quick. He really is. If you are looking at Cal's defensive line and you go, which one of these guys is going to the NFL, you pick him immediately, just on the eyeball test. And he really shows it out on the field, on the practice field. He's really matured a lot. You know, he has a kid now, and he's really grown up a lot since his time with USC. And it really is one of the more impressive guys to speak with, really well-spoken. And, boy, hey, you know, thanks. We appreciate it. He's doing a pretty good job up here. As far as the injury report, gun to my head, I think Aaron Cochran starts on Saturday at left tackle. But I wouldn't be surprised if Brian Farley starts. I think he had a foot injury. Jack Austin, wide receiver, he's back. He had a sprained knee. Michael Barton, and you're talking about run defense. Boy, Michael Barton is probably one of the faster, more athletic linebackers that Cal has. He's going to be out. It looks like he has not practiced at all this week with a sprained knee. And that really weakens Cal's run defense. Because really now the next athletic guy you have is Devontae Downs, and that's it. Jalen Jefferson, very, very good college player. He's an athlete, he's a lunch pail guy. He will get you where you need to go. Hardy Nickerson, for all his football IQ, is still very, very, very slow afoot. So, you know, taking one of your two really high-level linebackers out, you know, Nathan Broussard is good, but, you know, he's working on bad knees there. You know, taking one of your best linebackers, that's going to hurt a lot. And he was not in the rotation, I think, as much as he should have been. But that's still a big concern. Beyond that, Stephen McClure had a shoulder. I think he's fairly okay now. I think Cedric Dozier was in red earlier this week. He's been playing very sparingly, and when he has, he's not been impressive. And that's really, and then there's Daniel Askill, which is the big question mark. I think that's the biggest question mark we can have going in, is whether we will see him. I think if he takes 20 snaps, 20, 30 snaps, not necessarily 20, 30 handoffs, 20, 30 snaps, I think Cal's going to be in a good spot.
All right, cool. We had Missing Brain Cells, which is a cool name on the message board. He had a few things, so I'll read them one at a time and you want to get your quick thoughts, I guess, on each one. He said, the first one is, in the two recent losses, has Cal remained committed to the running game, or when they fall behind, do they just, quote-unquote, air it out?
Yeah, to some extent. But I will say this, and I haven't charted it out, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but just, you know, first blush, you know, Tony Franklin himself was a running back at Murray State, and he is coaching the running backs, and I have seen more of a commitment to the run, at times frustratingly so, because you realize that as good as Vic Inwiri and Kofani Muhammad and Trey Watson are going to be, they're not Daniel Askill. Maybe that some of their parts are, but they in fact are not. And that's really hurt Cal. Now, Kofani Muhammad, boy, you put him in a straight line race, foot race against anybody and he'll win. I'll take him over anybody except Secretariat. Although Secretariat's dead, so he's got a good shot. So that would be, I Trey Watson, again, I think is going to be very, 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 very good out of Corona Centennial, so out of L.A. You know, I think, and Vic Inwiri, incredibly powerful, incredibly strong, and he's grown so much as a running back this year. But, again, none of them are Daniel Askill.
Yeah. Muhammad's
that said, when Cal's gotten into third and short, sometimes they'll throw. And that irks me a little bit as a guy who likes some of, you know, hey, I grew up, you know, with USC. I grew up with the 3 yards and a cloud of dust, and then we'll chuck it, you know? So I grew up with the hard charging running backs. And And I personally like that a little bit more, but so sometimes Tony Franklin does backslide. But there is more of a commitment to the run now, which I think philosophically is a good thing. They haven't been getting the results. Again, you put Daniel Lasco out there, and I think we're having a different conversation.
I've liked Muhammad when he comes in. He seems to make some big plays.
He is. And you know what? He's gotten a lot shiftier than I had seen him before. He's really added that, which is funny because he spent the entire offseason running in straight lines in the track team. So he's actually added. Maybe he's doing a steeplechase. I don't know. He's actually added a little bit. Maybe he is the steeple. I don't know. He's added more back and forth, a little more side to side. And he certainly looked like when he hits the hole, he's gone. But
yeah.
Again, I think he's, you know, again, he's shorter than me. And he'll debate it, and I will debate it. We'll stand next to each other, and he's still shorter than me, and he still says it's not true. But I have a picture proving it's true. He's still shorter than me, and he's as well-built as he is, he's still a small running back.
Yeah. His second one was, is the fall-off in Goff's performance simply due to a different level of competition, like tougher opposition, or is there something else going on, you think?
I think against Utah, he was still dealing with, I've called it unspecified bodily irregularities, which is to say that there was something wrong with him. We don't know what it was, but coaches have said that there was something wrong, but they won't. It's a very odd situation. I do think that he was just not right for whatever reason against Utah. And like I said, everyone's going to have a bad game. You get hit as much as you get hit, and you look at the highlights, and really you look at the game film. I've seen him step on more toes of defensive linemen than any other quarterback. And by that, I mean he will step into the pressure and deliver the throw and then get popped. So when you're watching the ball go down the field, oh, great, it's a catch, or oh, great, it's an incompletion, he's doing that with a 320-pound, 6'3" man in his face. And sometimes it's the backs of his own offensive linemen. Now, not as bad as in years past. He got sacked, 33 times, I think, as a freshman. But he's a lot of it is he just takes a lot of punishment that you don't see unless you're looking at him the entire time and not looking downfield. And I think that sort of starts to wear on you a little bit. Although he doesn't back down. I mean, I think the game at UCLA, the two balls to Bryce Treg, I think if you ask Bryce honestly, he should have caught both of them. And those are two 25, 30, 40-yard passes that changed the game, frankly. And same thing with Kenny Waller. I mean, these are your two most dependable guys in the last two games. They've just not played like the guys that we know. Hey, look at the short passes, the slants, the quick outs, Goff's hitting them every time. But, you know, the deep balls, it's a little bit more of a collaboration. In summation, I think, yeah, you're playing teams that are going to cover your guys tighter, but at the same time, if you don't have a running game, teams can drop eight and play man, and they're going to play man until you beat man. And right now, Cal's not beating anything except themselves.
And one last one for missing brain cells. If USC plays with the physicality they displayed against Utah last Saturday, can Cal match up with them along both lines? What do you think?
No. I flat out no. That is something that Cal is. This offense is a finesse offense. More often than not, it's not an offensive line firing off the ball. They retreat a few steps because they let the defensive line come into them and then make the second move, which philosophically is a good idea. And in battle, it's a good idea, but, maybe not necessarily when you're facing a USC defensive line. Utah was a very physical team.
Yes.
And again, along both lines, you have to be big offensive line, a big defensive line with a Lotulelei Jr. there in the middle, beating on people. So I think Cal has the capability to slug it out. I think that it exists in them. Because we've seen, you know, hey, that Utah game, in years past, that team was folded like a cheap deck chair on the Titanic. And they didn't. They kept slugging. And that's something, again, that we talked about the penalties, the maturity of this offense, the maturity of these players. I think they are capable. Now, at some point, it's just going to be the athleticism and the size and the speed might become too much. Now, Cal's defensive line, hey, Kyle Cragen's your best sack guy, and he's a little undersized. James Looney, I think, is an NFL guy. You know, and Mustafa Jalil, I think he has within him a professional somewhere. Again, same with Devontae Wilson. So I think the capability is there. I don't know. I think if USC it's going to be a 12-round fight, and I think Cal is good if it can get a first or second round knockout. But you start getting the fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth rounds, and all of a sudden, that heavyweight gets tired.
And then we got one last one for you, Ryan. Thanks for being patient and answering these questions. Carrillo or Carrillo, I don't know, C-C-A-R-R-I-L-L-O, a lot of double letters, 55 and a double number. He wants to know, he says, Cal lost their offensive coordinator last year, yet they seem to be even better this year. Is the head coach calling the plays? Do the players know the system more? Is Jared Goff just that good? What is it?
Cal still has the same offensive coordinator.
Oh, okay. Well, then
it's still Tony Franklin.
Okay.
and incidentally, and this is a great story. I was able to get an exclusive on it earlier this week. It's the Joe Roth game. And I think USC fans will remember 1976 or 1975, rather, Joe Roth, Cal coming off a loss at UCLA, came home to play USC, and it was a shocking win over a top 10 team. And Joe Roth led the Bears with, I think, 340 passing yards, which at that time was unheard of. Passed away in 1977 from melanoma, and at the time Tony Franklin was a senior running back in high school in Kentucky, and he followed Joe Roth, and then 5 years later he himself had his own cancer scare and was in his skull. It's like this type of cancer presents itself in one's skull less than 1% of all cases. And he was lucky, 3 days after he was diagnosed, they took a piece of his skull out. And he said that the Joe Roth story, seeing a guy who was in his age group, a guy who he looked up to as a football player, fight the cancer and kind of stand up and say, I'm not going to let this beat my team. And just the way he went about it, the way he carried himself, was so inspirational to him. And of course, there's now a new documentary, Don't Quit, the Joe Roth story, which really, if you are a college football fan, it will punch you in the chest and then kick you in the gut and then knee you in the groin, because it is a heartbreaking story. And Tony Franklin, I found this, I talked with him the other day, and then revealed that throughout his cancer scare, he thought of Joe Roth the entire time. And then to come to Cal, a place where Joe Roth is so venerated, with his number there on the side, the only retired number in Cal football history, it's a great story. And folks, if you have a chance, again, don't quit the Joe Roth story. It's, bring your tissues, because whether you like Cal or not, if you're a college football fan, or if you're an observer of the human condition, as we all are as reporters, it's something. It's really something.
Oh, cool. Well, hey, Ryan, we really appreciate that. And thanks. Hopefully people will take advantage of it. But thanks for coming on the our little Peristyle podcast show and previewing the USC-Cal game, the weekender with the USC fans call. All the students drive up there to San Francisco and hang out and go to the pier and all that kind of fun stuff and then go over to the game. Should be a fun weekend.
Cool. Well, yeah, they're going to have to get a nice day drunk going because it's the noon kickoff. So they're going to have breakfast margaritas or something on a Saturday.
I like that, breakfast margaritas. It's always good to go up there. You get like a, clam chowder and a sourdough bowl, something like that. It's usually fun.
Yeah, and a strawberry margarita for your fruit serving for the morning. There you go. It's a perfectly balanced breakfast.
Sweet. All right. Well, Ryan Gorsey, definitely check him out on Twitter and on bearterritory.net, part of the scout.com network. Thanks so much for coming on, Ryan.
My pleasure, Ryan. Thanks a lot.
All right. That's Ryan Gorsey previewing USC versus Cal. So that's our show for today. Thanks so much for tuning into the Peristyle podcast, and we will talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the Peristyle podcast presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.